And we get our reading for today that reminds us of that story of the wise men, the magi, the kings, the so many labels that they have. And Jan is going to share that with us. Thank you.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2 and reading from verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jan. Now, this is going to be one probably more culturally specific introduction. So I recognize that some folk in here was not going to get this reference. If not, speak to me after, and I'll explain it in more detail. But I hope it becomes clearer. I remember in my childhood, which is getting further away than I care to remember, or can actually remember, but there we go. There was this program that came on, I think it was a Friday night, I think. And the TV would just go, tsh, and go all fuzzy, as if you'd lost the signal. And then you'd hear this voice that came over. Some of you will remember what it said. "Do not attempt to adjust your television set." Remember that one? No? And then it would be taken over by the Twilight Zone. Remember that one, the Twilight Zone? Yes, some of you are nodding. Some of you are going, "I have not got a clue what this fool is on about." It's an old TV program. It was kind of short stories or mini plays. There was the old ones in the 1950s, 60s that were all black and white, and they were the best ones. They remade it in the 70s and 80s in color, and it was terrible. The stories were awful, but the main theme of the Twilight Zone is a typical normal day would start out, everything going along just as it was planned and ordered. But a series of events would mean that our central character would end up being taken on this wild journey in himself or wherever, and it would end with a twist in the tale, usually a scary one. Once I'd watched that, my routine was make sure the windows were locked. Make sure the curtains were shut closed really tight. The front door was locked right under the covers, and don't bring your head out until morning. These wise men, these journeyers that our focus is of today, astrologers, advisors, certainly not kings, those that practiced the science of their day, they were about to embark on a journey that they knew nothing of what was going to happen. And there's going to be a twist in the tale, as we'll see. A new star appears in the sky, and for them this is a symbol, a portent of something really important is going to happen. They interpret it that someone special, someone powerful, someone mighty is going to be born. And I'm sure they would have reported that to their ruler, the guy who met their bills and who kept them comfortable. And it would be typical of that era, of that time, of rulers, even today, that when such an event happens, they send emissaries. Connect with these people. Shake hands. Oil relationships. Get off to good international connections, because it will benefit us in our trade and all the rest of it. And we see it today. You know, we talk a lot about climate change and watching your carbon footprint and all that kind of stuff. And really, all it takes is for a premier to die and all that goes out the window. You've never seen so many private jets taken off from every corner of the globe, flying to get to that one place as quickly as possible. And all these other leaders and rulers sometimes, getting off and shaking hands and wanting to be seen to be close to the people there. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. And perhaps in this narrative, we see that played out. This ruler wants to make contact, make sure they're in good relationships. All our leaders want to make contact when there's a change in power. And they do exactly the same thing. They can just do it quicker. We can think it's a challenge to pack for a couple of weeks. And for me, it is not. How many days am I away, Karen? Five. Right, five pants, five t-shirts, five socks. Packed. That's it for me. Simple as that. But we might be going out for dinner. I don't care. I'll be wearing what I'm wearing. That's another matter. If we took over a week or over a fortnight like Mary and Joseph did, it then gets a bit more challenging. We can do some basic thought math in our head that if they're traveling from Persia somewhere, into Judea, kind of the minimum journey we're talking about is not the 80 odd miles that Mary and Joseph traveled. It's at least 1,600 miles by camel and by foot. It's going to take at least 6 months if we were traveling every day across that continent. But they won't be traveling every day, because you can't do that there, because it takes so long to set up a camp. You set up a camp, you have a good rest, because camels are not comfortable, and you rest up, prepare, stock up your food for the next leg of the journey, then you break camp, pack it all up, and you go at 18 camel miles an hour. That's 18 camel miles a day. That's as good as it gets. And then you have to go through the process of unpacking all of that to set up camp again and go through the whole cycle. I know we could be more accurate if we knew where they left from, but we don't. So we just have to make some assumptions. But we are talking about this small army of servants, with cooks, of cleaners, of bodyguards, of all the paraphernalia that they have to take with them being packed and moved. And this is not traveling light. This is the very opposite. This is traveling full fat, heavy weight, everything included, camp trip. And it takes time. So weeks, months, years. In our usual nativity narrative, the shepherds, the wise men, they all arrive at the same time. This bairn's barely born, and he's surrounded by strangers. That's not what it was like. It couldn't have been like that. If the star appears when the child is born, that's the start of the journey for these wise men. Years later, they arrive. So they're not talking about a babe in arms. We are talking about a baby, an infant, a toddler. As they travel through all these neighboring lands, some would be new to them, some would be familiar, they would have to do the usual diplomatic thing. Stop, say hello to the king, the ruler, the governor, the whatever. Shake hands and be nice. And here's a wee present for us to see us safely on our way. And of course they would say, oh, come and stay and eat and rest with us. Or have a week's holiday. And suddenly this journey's getting longer and longer. I don't know about you. See, when I start a journey, I just want to get to the end of it. Get there, get it done. These guys had this dragged out for months and months. They traveled, though, in faith and in hope that they would find the fulfillment of this sign that they had seen. And you can imagine them traveling from place to place, looking to see, is it here? Is this our destination? What do you know? What have you heard? What does your teaching tell you? And trying to piece all these bits together. They eventually arrive at Herod's palace, and they're told there of a promise within Jewish scripture of a Messiah to be born. But not a Messiah born in a temple or in a palace or in some rich household, but in this backwater, small, second-rate city of Bethlehem. And so what they had expected was completely turned upside down. Everyone travels in faith and in hope, no matter who you are. We travel in the hope of having, even at a basic level, a fulfilling life, of finding happiness, of knowing peace, of doing well, prospering, for some to work out what life is all about and the meaning and purpose for them. Like our travelers, they start out without a roadmap, because none of us has a roadmap of our lives. We just journey day by day. In the journey of our lives, we too have many stop-offs along the way. Some get distracted by the noise of the busy marketplace and think that that is what life is all about, what we can buy, the next biggest thing, and that will somehow fulfill our lives, and find that it doesn't. Because our lives existed long before there were shops and money and stuff to fill them up. Some folk get lost and stop off in the focus of their careers, and they think they will find fulfillment in that. And they do for a time. Their work can be very rewarding, very satisfying, but work ends. And then what? When they retire, does the meaning of who they are stop? Do they end being who they are? Some will throw themselves into exploring ideas of philosophy, of other cultures, of other trains of thought, thinking that they will find the fulfillment of their life within themselves. But it just takes an event to come along and, like a tidal wave, just wash the feet from under them. It just takes illness or a death or some calamitous change that they didn't foresee and aren't prepared for. And their ideas falter and fail. Our journeyers, the Magi, could have stopped at Herod's palace. They could have said, oh well, we've kind of found the right place. That's great. We'll just leave our presents here with you and you can pass them on when you get a chance. They could have returned then and just made a report that they'd kind of worked out what it was all about and were just glad to be home to their comforts, to their palace. But they didn't. They wanted to see their journey through to its end, to really see that promise that they saw in the sky, and to experience the fulfillment of their hope. They journeyed on and found a toddler, a wee boy running about, probably bare-bummed, like all wee boys usually do at that age. They'd been traveling since he was born, since his star came up in the night sky, likely a year, maybe two. A lot of people think they know what Christmas is about. They're familiar with the story, even if that's loose, but they're familiar with it. But they stop there. They don't continue on to meet the fulfillment of that story face to face. We have an opportunity to help people make that last bit of the journey to meet the Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, God in flesh and blood, to see the fulfillment of the promise, not in a story, but in a person. Not in an idea, but in a reality that changes the world. The promises made to humanity by God through the prophets has been fulfilled. The star of his coming has ascended, and it shines still here and now with us in this place, in each of you. Remember, Jesus said that we are not to hide our light, but to let it out, to let it shine. And that light that we have is his light in us, to shine his light into the darkness of the world that surrounds us. So the twist in the tale of our Twilight Zone journey is that God made himself one with us through the birth of Jesus. And Jesus in us unites us to God. The circle is complete. No gaps to be bridged. It's all done by God. And that's the good news. It's about what he has done, not about what we do. It's about what he has accomplished, not what we can achieve. The weight, the burden of being good enough is gone. It's no longer needed. It's not expected. We are simply invited to follow the example of the Magi, to fall on our knees and worship Jesus, that interface, that connection between God and humanity, and to give him our gifts, the gifts of who we are, and to know that that is enough. That is all that God asks. In that moment, the luggage we carry in life can be relinquished. For those familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, it's when Pilgrim gets to the foot of the cross and the burden that he bears falls from his shoulders. We too can do the same at the foot of the crib, not just the cross. At that moment, our destination in life becomes clear. To be with God and in God and him in us. And we can travel light, quite literally, traveling his light into the world around us and bring his brightness, his glory to those who don't see it, to those who think that Christmas trees are bright and that Christmas decorations light up the darkness and don't know of this one light that transforms your life completely. That's what our invitation from God is. To take that light and that life, to share it, to live it, to rejoice in it. We could learn much from our Christian friends from other nations. When they sing, they move. You know? And it's a bit more than that. And they smile. And they laugh. And they rejoice with their hands held high. They will say hallelujah and amen. They will join in a service. And we are very Presbyterian. Our hands are for sitting on. It's the only place that God designed them to be kept. Maybe we need to learn to let some of God's light into that aspect of our worship too. To find the freedom, to find the joy, to find the life. Could you imagine what it was like when these wise men saw that baby and knew that this is it? This is the answer. Joy abounding. And we would kind of go, oh, well, hi. Good lad. Nice to see you. Let's find the life that God promised that would fill us in all its fullness. And let that just flood who we are. And to flow from us like rivers into the dry land around us. And see what God sprouts up. See what he brings to fruit. And go and enjoy the garden. Anyway, that's my thoughts and reflections around our travelers today. Can we pause in a moment's prayer? Loving and gracious God, when you touched earth in such a visceral, real way in Christ, you didn't do it as a thought exercise or some footnote in history. It was to be a transformative connection with your creation. Lord, transform us again. We say that in the Church of Scotland we are reformed and always reforming, reforming. So reform us. Keep renewing us and reshaping us until we reflect Christ more fully, more completely. And give us the joy and the courage just to share him. And with this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.